It's time for the VolQuest podcast, where we dissect the biggest news items of the week.
Hey, good Tuesday morning, everybody. Welcome into the Exterior Home Solutions VolQuest podcast. I'm Eric Kane, alongside Austin Price, Rob Lewis, and Brent Hubbs. Exterior Home Solutions, it is local and trusted since 1999. For garage needs, siding needs, roofing needs, whatever the case may be, give Exterior Home Solutions a ring today for a free estimate. 865-524-5888 or online at exteriorhomesolutions.com. Got a lot to get into here today. Going to look back a little bit at Florida. Going to look ahead to Alabama. Third Saturday in October, a season-ending injury for Tennessee's linebacker, Keenan Peely. We'll have Tim Watts coming on to talk about Alabama as well. So a lot to get into. But first, I want to remind you guys, we got a really good deal going on right now for the third Saturday in October rivalry week here at VolQuest.com. You can join us here. $1 for 7 days, and then it's 50% off your first year. So $1 for 7 days for this week, and then 50% off your first year, new subscribers only. Come join us here at the General's Quarters at VolQuest.com. Guys, let's briefly look back at the Florida win. It was a win. Tennessee's 5-1, 2-1 in SEC play. Rob Lewis, there's some issues still remaining on offense. Nobody's trying to sugarcoat that. But overall, you got a team that's 5-1 and heading on to another big-time game on the schedule with Alabama.
Yeah, I mean, I totally get everybody's frustrations, you know, the fans. I mean, I totally get it with the offense. Don't get me wrong. I mean, I certainly overstated what I thought they were capable of in the preseason based off what we've seen since SEC play began. But, man, I'm old enough to where it's still kind of bizarre to be wailing and gnashing your teeth over a win over Florida. I mean, I know it wasn't pretty. But I mean, if you look around this league, I mean, I'm starting to accept it. I mean, I think you're going to have a lot of those. I mean, look what Alabama's doing. I mean, Georgia's, you know, won a couple ugly already. You know, I'm not saying that, you know, excusing Tennessee or saying that they played great. But, man, I think you're going to see more and more of that in the SEC.
Yeah, I think you guys were talking about it on the Rocky Top Rewind a little bit and on the postgame mini pod. It's kind of like the NFL model right now, Austin, where you have teams kind of beating up on one another. Texas is far and away the best team in the league right now. Georgia's got vulnerabilities. We've seen Alabama have vulnerabilities. Ole Miss has two losses. Tennessee has a loss. LSU has an early season loss. It's kind of everybody beating up on each other, and as you like to point out, that you hate it before, but it's true right now. It is a week-to-week season.
It is, and, you know, when you look at this team, they're not playing very well offensively right now. You know, they're not as good as we all thought right now, and I think that's the best way to put it because, you know, as Greg McElroy said on The Nation Sunday night, Alabama kind of squeaked by a bunch of games last year in October, and nobody saw them, you know, barely miraculously beating Auburn 1 week and then beating Georgia, a team that, you know, hadn't lost in a long time, the next week. So, I mean, like, you really have to kind of take it week by week and you know, see if, you know, the offense can figure out, you know, some identity. Maybe it's a matchup. Maybe this is a good matchup for Tennessee. I don't know. Time will tell. But, you know, I think that, you know, the best way to put it is, you know, this is a team searching for their identity right now. We'll see if they can find it because obviously, you know, things can change. Who's playing well in September and who's playing well in November can be two or three totally different teams. So, you know, Tennessee's got to, you know, go back to the drawing board, see if they can figure out some continuity on offense and do the little things that Josh Heupel's talked about on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, going back and rewatching the tape, Brent, you and I have talked about it. I mean, Tennessee was close on a couple of those down the field plays. I think that you were a bit more encouraged compared to last week, the Arkansas tape, after watching this, you know, review after Florida. But still knowing they're not playing well, they're shooting themselves in the foot. You know, offensive line, as Josh Heupel pointed out on Monday, it's sometimes you got four guys going together and one guy doing his own thing, and that's not cohesive enough on the offensive line. Yet it's not like receiver where two guys can be doing the right thing and one guy is not, and you can still have a big play. More than anything, though, this offense has got to find a way to, you know, get your quarterback some confidence. You got to run the football in the first half, something that we think is key in this football game. If you are slow out of the gates and you're not running the football effectively, you might not have enough time to come back like you have the last 2 weeks offensively.
Well, I mean, you go back and look at the opening drive. It couldn't have gone any better for Tennessee until they got inside the Florida 30-yard line, and then they fumble on a self-inflicted wound. And you can't have those things. I'm not saying you got to play perfect. Nobody's suggesting that. You're going to make bust. You're going to give up a sack. You're going to give up. You're going to drop a ball every now and then. But, man, you can't have the catastrophic mistakes that Tennessee's dealing with right now. The fumble, throwing into triple coverage, coming off your goal line, you know, three sacks in a row, just things like that, you just can't have that happen. And, you know, this team is having a harder time because it's offensively, it's more of a challenge for them to overcome a mistake. You know, it's one of those things where, you know, second and 10, 2 years ago was no big deal. The same way, you know, 10 offensive penalties weren't a big deal, Rob. But it's a big deal now because second and 10 feels a whole lot harder for this offense than right now than we've seen second and 10 feel for a Josh Heupel offense since he's been here. So you just have to play a cleaner version of what you're trying to do right now, and you got to execute when opportunities present itself. I mean, when you got a layup and a receiver's 5 yards behind the safety, you got to make that play. That's the world you're in. You got to make that play when a guy's that wide open.
Yeah, I mean, at this level, I mean, when you think you're a top 10 team in college football and compete for the SEC, you have to make those throws. But I like AP's point, and maybe I'm just glass half full. I mean, I don't think there's any reason to think that the Tennessee we saw Saturday night is the Tennessee you're going to see 4 weeks from now, offensively. I mean, these guys get paid to coach and get guys better, and you know, as frustrated as people are with Nico, I mean, he's halfway through his first season as a college starter. I mean, I thought he would be a lot better. I mean, like everybody else, but I'm not, I mean, you can see the talent. I mean, the arm talent is there. I mean, he's mobile. I mean, he does, you know, things instinctively. I mean, he's got to be a lot better. Absolutely. But, you know, like I think AP made a very important distinction. I mean, what you see right now, maybe not what you see 6 weeks from now.
Well, look at back at the Rob, look at 22, like, the Pittsburgh game, Tennessee went to overtime with a team that was on their third string quarterback. And it, like who saw that team 2 weeks later beating LSU, beating Florida, beating Alabama? Like, I mean, who saw that, right?
Ranked number one in the first college football playoff.
You know, again, I'm not saying that they're going to run the table or anything like that. I'm just saying, like, literally can change week to week. And, you know, it may be a great matchup this week. They may beat Alabama. And then, in, you know, 2 weeks after that, after the bye week, they may lose Kentucky at home because, it's a bad matchup. It's why you just go week to week. Let's see how this thing plays out. And, you know, I mean, sadly, we all have to kind of ride the wave of this thing, but, like, it is what it is.
Well, the days of rolling the ball out there and saying, hey, I'm three touchdowns better than an SEC opponent I'm playing that week are over. Okay? You're just not. Now, you're going to have some games where a team wins, Eric, by three touchdowns. Because an opponent lays an egg that day, or they play really bad, or you play just exceptional. You know, that's certainly the case. I mean, we watched 30 minutes of football where Alabama looked like they were the class of college football against Georgia. And then the last 2 weeks, they lost to Vanderbilt, and they fought like crazy to get a home win against South Carolina. Now, is Alabama as good as they were in the first half against Georgia? No. Are they as bad as they played the last 2 weeks? Probably not. You know, they're probably somewhere in the middle of this thing. But gone are the days that I think Tennessee fans really loved and we all kind of grew accustomed to in the 90s and the early 2000s, where you went to the ball yard and said, that team's got no shot. You just don't have a lot of those days where you say that team doesn't have a shot. There's a few every now and then coming along the way, but there are not as many of those as they used to be. It doesn't feel like, at least not in this year of college football.
Yeah, and it can be frustrating, you know, if you're for the team you root for, but the overall, you know, product of college football, man, it's exciting. Some people thought the 12-team college football playoffs would devalue the regular season. I mean, hey, this is a playoff game on Saturday for both teams, because you look at what's coming. I mean, you got Alabama's got Missouri and somebody else, LSU, and then of course Tennessee's got Georgia in November and a couple other challenging games the rest of the way, and each team's already got a loss. I mean, this is a play-in game essentially. You know, if you lose this, it's gonna be really, really hard to get the college football playoff. So I think the overall product's exciting for sure. A lot of talk, obviously, on the offense, how it needs to get better. You know, Tennessee did have some receivers open, couldn't connect down the field. Dylan Sampson in the second half, he's been great. Offensive line issues. Defense continues to come along, but Austin, Tennessee lost a big key cog there in the middle, and they were pretty much without him the entire game against Florida because his injury was so early in the football game. But Keenan Peely going to be out for the year, and Tennessee's got to find a way to replace that production with a combination of Arian Carter, Jeremiah Thielander, Caleb Perry, Jalen Smith, and so on and so forth.
Yeah, they're not real deep, and then, you know, we'll see, you know, how quickly Edmund Spillman can get back. I mean, he's not available right now. We'll see if he's able to make it back in the month of November. But obviously he would, you know, add to the depth if he's able to make it back from the wrist injury that he's had. And you know, the loss of Keenan Peely, I mean, he's not going to play that many games as a Tennessee Volunteer, but it definitely stings. And, you know, for, you know, Jeremiah Thielander, I mean, his time is now. I mean, he got a lot of run last year as a backup before he became a starter a little bit there at the end. You know, but I mean, he's the guy in the middle, and they need him to play really good football. Arian Carter is playing really, really, really well. And so, you know, and they have to figure it out after that. You know, Jalen Smith's not played a ton, but he's played more than I probably thought he would play at this point in the season. And then Caleb Perry has played sporadically during his Tennessee career. All those guys are going to get more run, you know, with this defense. And so they're going to need to have some players step up. But I think it starts with Arian Carter, who I think just has to elevate his play even more than it already has been.
Yeah, I think the concern here is that just the wear and tear you're going to put on Carter and Thielander, because how comfortable, Rob, are you going to be rotating as much as you did? And I think the key player in this whole thing is Caleb Perry. What do you get out of Caleb Perry in the middle? Because somebody's got to step up and be the guy who can play in some kind of rotation behind Jeremiah Thielander. I don't know who that is other than Caleb Perry, but somebody has to step up in that role and show up starting Saturday against Alabama in a tough situation with a mobile quarterback.
Yeah, I was going to say it puts it under the microscope immediately, probably with, you know, maybe the toughest matchup for that position group at quarterback on the schedule. I mean, those guys, I mean, I know it's been talked about and written about, but, you know, linebacker, those guys are going to be under a lot of pressure. You know, the way Milroe can stress you, you know, on the perimeter, extended plays. And then, you know, when you're there, you know, you got to get him on the ground. So I think you're right. Perry, a guy that's played, you know, quite a bit, third year of the program. He's the guy when, you know, you next man up is a cliche, but he's a guy that you would point to and look at in this situation. You know, that's a big loss. I mean, to fill those shoes, and man, hate it for the guy. I mean, I know anybody that's spent any time with him or around him. AP, what are you laughing at?
The guy.
I know you. I saw it too.
How do you not look at that and not grin? Okay, keep going, Rob. Sorry.
I was just
going
to say.
Talking about serious topics, and all of a sudden he was there.
AP, I saw it too. It got me too. I just wouldn't commiserate. But man, just you hate it for Peely. I mean, just any when you want to spend any time talking to the kid, just, I mean, represents everything you like about college football. But that's a big loss, man, and a big spot in the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, leading tackler on the team. And has, you know, whenever he's been healthy, he's been a very good football player in this system. He's been a great fit. It's just unfortunate that his college career has been one that's just been marred by injuries, both at BYU and now back-to-back seasons at Tennessee. But you hate it for him, but somebody, Austin, has to step up big time, because, I mean, it's not just that they lost a leader and a good guy. They lost a productive football player in Keenan Peely.
Yeah, they did. And, you know, Rob's right. You hate to see it because he's such a quality human being. But in on the football landscape, like, I mean, this is a – there will be a drop-off here. You know, maybe not in terms of, like, your top two, but just the overall. Like, you know, all of a sudden now you're thrust – you know, your number four linebackers moved to your number three, and your number five has moved to your number four, and, you know – those guys are inexperienced, haven't had a ton of production, and, you know, now they're going to be asked to, you know, to play really well. And so we'll see what happens, but I think you're going to lean heavily on Thielander and Carter, and then we'll see what that rotation looks like. They've played a lot of bodies, and sometimes I think the linebacker rotation has been a bit of a head scratcher, because like, you know, you start thinking about the pecking order of the linebackers, you look up and you'll be like, the number five, number four guy are out there right now together. Like, you know, like I can see putting one out there with one of your stalwarts, but it, yeah, do they do that, continue to do that going forward, or do they mix and match based off of, you know, always having either T-Lander or Arian Carter on the field?
Eric, I think you saw this upon a rewatch. I mean, Tennessee's got to play better at the second and third levels in the middle of the field in the pass game. I mean, Jalen Smith got picked on in the pass game, and I didn't think Tennessee's safeties, while Christian Charles was productive, I didn't think that was Tennessee's best play at the safety position in terms of pass coverage. And they're going to get challenged like they haven't been challenged this week, potentially down the middle of the field. This is a hard spot for Tennessee to step into with some of this stuff.
Yeah, no doubt. I didn't think the safeties played great in pass coverage, and the safety group, they played four. I think all of them, I think Charles, Brooks, and Thomas each had a missed tackle. Andre Turrentine had four. That can't happen. Jalen Smith got picked on a little bit in the pass game, as you pointed out, and you can't give good teams more opportunities. And, you know, this quarterback, I thought Rob brought up a great point. You know, Jalen Milroe, we know who he is. We've seen him play. He is going to be the most dynamic quarterback in terms of stressing your linebackers than they'll see all year long. I mean, Carson Beck's a good quarterback, and Tennessee will see good quarterbacks. But in terms of what Milroe can do with his legs, extending plays, keeping plays alive, running the football, that's a lot of stress on your linebackers. And you know, again, welcome to it. You know, without Keenan Peely, it's going to be a huge test for sure, kind of in that regard. You look at Alabama, and we'll have Tim Watts come on here in a couple of minutes. You know, Brent, what do you see in Alabama? I think it's a team that's kind of all over the map a little bit. I think, as you pointed out, they can be really, really good. They can play down to the level of competition. I think Tennessee has opportunity to run the football. I think the offensive numbers are a bit inflated from that Western Kentucky win and the win over Georgia, because they put up a ton of offense. Don't get me wrong, and that win counts, obviously. But overall, it's a team that you don't really know what you're going to expect, more so than the Saban teams of the last couple of years, right?
Well, they're different. I mean, and you know, everything about that program is different. I mean, culturally, it's different, and the way they go about doing things is different. And there's been some adjusting and some adapting there. They were elite in the first half of the Georgia game. They haven't been elite since. The thing about this Alabama team, to me, Austin and Rob, when I look at them, that's different than what Tennessee's faced to this point. They've got a couple of guys who can go to the house on you from anywhere on the football field. And I just don't think Tennessee, when you look at the struggles that Oklahoma's got at wide receiver, you look at the struggles that NC State's had at quarterback. Green at Arkansas played well, but I don't think their receivers necessarily scared you to death, even though they had a couple of sideline fades on you and really well-thrown balls. They haven't played home run threats like Tennessee's going to play. I mean, Florida doesn't have the home run threats like they've had in the past. That's the difference in this matchup for me than anything, is Alabama can answer a score or can answer in one play. Tennessee's not played many people like that this year that have that ability.
I agree with you. I mean, you're exactly right. Tennessee's, you know, you've not had to worry. You could just kind of go, okay, Jamar McCoy, you do your thing. Well, now Jamar McCoy may need a little bit more help over the top, you know, or Ricky Gibson may need more help over the top. And so you're right. And again, like, how they defend Milroe will be interesting, because, you know, if you allow him to step up and there's a wide open running lane, that dude can go 65 yards in a blink. I mean, you go back 2 years ago when Bryce Young was out and he had to step up at Arkansas, and it's the first time I had watched him play, and I'm like, good Lord. He had that one run, like 70-yard run against Arkansas, and just, I mean, he looked like, you know, a racehorse, you know, getting to the end zone. He was fantastic. So, I mean, he's a guy that can make a play with his legs in a hurry. So, I'm with you.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the challenge that you have with them when you look at where Alabama is. The ability that to score at any point on the field is just different. And now the question, Eric, you have is, I mean, how does Alabama circle the wagons? You know, because there's been such a mainstay there for a long time that you knew how things were going to be run, right? They were going to close ranks, close ship, and it was about rat poison, and it was about using the media to motivate and all those things. This is, you know, so this is different. So how does this Alabama team handle themselves, you know, in this environment in Knoxville, and how do they, you know, how do they handle what's happened to them the last couple of weeks? I mean, I think most people thought Alabama would come in and just manhandle South Carolina, and they jumped out 14-0, and it looked like they would, and then they just fell apart there at the end of the first half to let South Carolina get back in it, and then you had ball game on at that point. So, you know, I think a lot of people in Alabama are kind of wondering where the mental toughness is. How tough is this team? How tough is this coaching staff? That's why I think if Tennessee can get on them early, it would be interesting to see what happens. The problem is Tennessee has been shut out the last 2 weeks offensively, so you just don't know if they can get that done.
Yeah, I mean, it'd be beneficial for Tennessee, obviously, to get out to a hot start, but, I mean, that's something that Tennessee used to be so good at in the last couple of weeks. It's just not, and so Tennessee needs to kind of turn that tide, if you will. But also, you're right with Alabama.
Nice, very nice.
Thank you, thank you. Alabama, like, I mean, there's good players there, don't get me wrong. I mean, there's plenty of talent on that team, but you removed a lot of key leaders and personalities in that on that football team, and you know, the starting center is now at Ohio State. You have Caleb Downs, who's at Ohio State. You've got Isaiah Bond, who's at Texas. You've got Dallas Turner, who's in the NFL. I mean, a lot of key players that were kind of leaders in that room.
Two starting cornerbacks.
Got four cornerbacks all told are no longer on the team that were there last year. I mean, Malachi Moore's there in the secondary, but even he has having issues, you know, controlling his emotions this year. It's just different. And that doesn't mean that Alabama's not going to be okay, but we're kind of seeing that in recent weeks. I mean, the talent's there against Georgia. You have a hiccup against Vanderbilt. You can't put South Carolina away. So, yeah, I think getting off to a quick start is huge for Tennessee. It would help Tennessee out immensely because I'm not sure how this Alabama – I'm sure it's capable, but how will Alabama handle this crowd in this environment at Neyland Stadium? We'll see.
Moore's the guy you got to lean on in the secondary for Alabama. He's the most experienced. In fact, he's been so good, he was named the SEC kickball player of the week a couple of weeks ago. So, I mean, he's been really good. And, you know, it's a nice little jab before Watts gets in here since I know he can see us right now.
Don't you guys think it's the weirdest, you know, lead up week just because, you know, two fan bases. I mean, Tennessee fell a couple spots, but essentially it's two top 10 teams and two fan bases that neither one of them's happy.
I saw a comment. I saw a comment on one of the videos that said, you know, I came in here to try to talk trash, but after seeing Alabama play the last couple of weeks, after seeing Tennessee's offense the last couple of weeks, I'm ready for the most disgusting, ugly top 10 showdown of all time. Of course, it's not even a top 10 showdown now because Tennessee's number 11. Well, but
think about where you were 2 weeks ago. Okay. I mean, 2 weeks ago on a Saturday, Tennessee's getting ready to take on Arkansas, and Alabama's playing at Vanderbilt. And the thought is game day is going to be in Knoxville, and it's a 7:45 start with everything there. I mean, everybody's in town for this. And now it's – I don't want to say it's an afterthought because it's not. It's a very important game, but the vibe, you know, you've gone from that to now we got one fan base is mad because of how the head coach dresses. We got another fan base that's getting all tore up because of how the player looks walking down a ball walk. I mean – you know what I'm saying? It's just – it's got a whole different vibe because of two losses.
And Caleb DeBoer smiled after that South Carolina
whatever, whatever that means, right? He smiled. I mean, it's just one of those things where it's just – there's just a lot of gnashing of the teeth because it was right there on the cusp for being a top five showdown with everybody there, the biggest game and all those types of things. And it is a very big game for both teams. It doesn't have – the national appeal for the third Saturday in October that a lot of people thought it was going to have 2 weeks ago.
Still a very important game. And to give us a scout on Alabama, Tim Watts is going to join us here when we return on the VolQuest podcast. Do want to give a shout out to our proud sponsors for this show today, and that is Game Time. You can download the Game Time app, put in the promo code ON3, and you're going to get $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, download the app or go to gametime.co, put in the promo code ON3, $20 off. What is the Game Time app? Well, it is an app. It is a website where you can buy tickets to events in your area. Sporting events, game at Neyland Stadium, third Saturday in October. Basketball games at the Food City Center for the Vols and Lady Vols. Baseball at the sand pile over there that is Lindsey Nelson Stadium for right now. All that and more, but not even just sporting events. It's concerts, it's shows, it's music events, all that and more in your area. The Bijou Theater, Tennessee Theater, or wherever you live. Buy tickets to events in your area on the Game Time app. Lowest price guarantee. You got the Game Time ticket coverage, most flexible customer service policy in the ticketing industry. Plus, check out the Game Time picks where they're going to filter through all the fluff to find you the greatest deals to get you set for game day. Again, download that Game Time app. Put in the promo code locked up. Put in the promo code on three. Promo code on three at $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guarantee. And as always, I want to give a shout out to our friends, our presenting sponsors of the show. That is Exterior Home Solutions.
Hey, Sterling, man, come on. We got a roof to replace.
Let's go, baby. Let's go. Let's go.
Hey, Sterling, you ready to go to the top?
Man, I can't believe you guys been doing this for 25 years. Oh, baby.
Now, this is what I call a rooftop party.
We have 25 years experience in roofing and exterior renovations, and we're backed by the best.
Are you ready to get your rooftop party started? Give us a call, 865-524-5888.
Hey, I want to welcome on to the show from Bama Online, the publisher and owner, that is Tim Watts. Get a set for Tennessee and Alabama. Tim, as always, thank you for joining us. And a big week coming up, both for Tennessee and Alabama. A very, very, what's always a big rivalry game. It's a very important game for both programs.
Look, I'm old school. I know there's been a damper put on this game. I mean, a little bit with the expectations of Alabama possibly coming in defeat, undefeated, having beaten Georgia. Tennessee undefeated, probably two top five teams. And at worst, Alabama with one loss, having lost to Georgia. So this game was set up to be a huge, huge game. I'm old school. It's always going to be a big game to me. I grew up with two brothers of Tennessee fans. One was an Alabama fan. This is always going to be an important game to me.
Tim, when you look at where this Alabama team is right now, and listen, there's a transition there, right? Fans are trying to adapt to, you know, you're not getting the same lingo. You're not getting some of the same animations and different things. There's always going to be that adjustment there. So let's take that part out of the equation and just look at this team on the field. What do you make of where Alabama is after the way they played in their last three games, when you talk about the Georgia win and Vanderbilt and South Carolina?
I think they're still adjusting to a new system. I think they're struggling in that area with the scheme. I think they've had blown coverages. The thing about Alabama, if you watch the South Carolina game, they did a lot of things that were good. They had stretches. They're up 14-0. They look a good football team. And then you get a, you know, you get a blown assignment for a touchdown, 14-7. Come back and get a dead ball, personal foul penalty on a dead kickoff, no return. Next thing you know, you're at the 12. Then you get a safety on the punt. You're offsides on the punt off the safety and end up trailing and, you know, making that a much closer game than you anticipated. So right now they really can't get out of their way. You know, I don't think they're as good as the 28-0 team you saw against Georgia. I think they just came out swinging and Georgia just had to scramble and got back in the game. But I also don't think they're as bad as you saw. I don't think the Vandy – I mean, you should always beat Vanderbilt, I think, if you're Alabama. But it's not the Vandy we all grew up watching. I mean, they've won back-to-back games, 22-point dog, 14-point dogs, or whatever it was. But they're in the growing pains stage that you're seeing right now and trying to adjust to new schemes and coaches figuring out their players and, you know, just a lot of uncertainty at times in the last few games.
And when you look at this Tennessee team, obviously they've been struggling offensively. Alabama's been susceptible to give up a few big plays here and there. You know, what will Alabama need to do to kind of continue in puzzling a Tennessee offense that seems to be searching for an identity?
You know, I think anytime, you know, and I've seen the criticism of Nico from the Tennessee fans, but, you know, I saw a lot of this last year with Alabama with Jalen Milroe, and you can't teach experience. I mean, that's what these guys need, especially the quarterback position. So having started only a handful of games, if I'm Alabama, I pressure him. They're going to have to shut down the running game to do that. I imagine Tennessee wants to establish the run, which opens up the passing game. But I think they want to pressure that quarterback when he drops back. He's an athletic guy. And make him make quick decisions if Alabama, that's what I want to do. I don't want him back there playing 5-6 Mississippi Rush, you know, taking his time picking guys out. Josh Heupel's a good offensive coach. Despite what, you know, the critics are out, I understand, for a lot of teams this year. But he's got a good offensive mind, so you don't want to leave him back there scheming up too much. He's already probably going to have a pretty good game plan.
Yeah, not only is Alabama trying to adjust, you know, the players, the staff, the players and the fans trying to adjust to a new head coach, but look at that defensive back room. I mean, Nick Saban at his core. I mean, he's a defensive back. He's a defensive back coach, DC. And you got Malachi Moore, you know, making headlines for the wrong reasons the last couple of weeks, but he's an experienced player, played a couple of different positions. Downs is gone. Four different cornerbacks from the team last year are gone. Gave up 439 through the air to Georgia, but that was kind of a different game. 28-0 in the first quarter. They got to go to the pass. How's that defensive backfield coming along in recent weeks?
You know, I think they're young. I think you see young guys got a true freshman start, and you got Damani Jackson from USC, who's in his third year, but somewhat limited playing time. You got Keon Saab, who came over from Michigan, but started three or four games, but they have playing time, but not as experienced as you're used to seeing at Alabama. I mean, you got a true freshman out there starting who's done a really good job, but again, he wasn't some top five Pat Surtain type recruit. He was a top 100 guy who's did really well. I think that back end was the biggest question going into the season. I think that's probably the biggest question now if they're, you know, they're exposed with route running. But at the same time, I mean, you want to help your cornerbacks out. You pressure the quarterback. You want to make a average cornerback a good cornerback. You get pressure on that quarterback because the quarterback, because the longer he's got to throw. I mean, cornerback to me is the hardest position because you're chasing a guy and have no clue where he's going half the time. But the back end still mature and it's got to grow. You got to grow up. It's made plays at times. But again, it's the whole unit. When one thing breaks down, like you saw against South Carolina, I mean, that walk-in touchdown before the half, he was wide open. So obviously a misblown assignment. You had a young guy, Zay Mincy, in there for Damani Jackson. You just got to keep those guys in front of you and, you know, lock down what you're supposed to be doing.
Tim, is schematically, is this defense drastically different than what they've done in the past? I know, obviously, your coordinator comes from South Alabama. Has it been a bunch of wholesale changes schematically? Are they trying to blend some stuff in with the old and his new stuff? What's kind of the transition schematically defensively for this team?
I mean, it's a 3-3-5. It's got four men front at times. You got basically two defensive linemen, the bandit position, which is the edge guy. And then you got a linebacker walked up. It's definitely different. I mean, it's different what they're used to, but it's simpler in the logistics of it. But it's also, you know, Saban's back end was a mess. That's the one thing we heard from day one. It was hard to learn. Really good, but if you messed up, I mean, you saw that with Tennessee. They found one play 2 years ago and just ran it repeatedly, rinse and repeat. So when something got a hold of you, it's easier from that aspect. But, I mean, it is a fundamental change. The defensive line's totally different. You know, they call it the swarm, trying to do different things. And some games you'll see them have pressure. They had good pressure on Beck, I felt like. They had good pressure this week. And then against Vanderbilt, you didn't really have anything, you know, working for them. I mean, it's a tough offense to stymie, but they pretty much had their way with the defense.
Tim, when you look at, you know, this game, obviously it's big for both teams. What's the mood of the Alabama fan base right now, just based off of the last 2 weeks?
No good. It's no good. You know, I mean, this is – you know,
join us, Tim.
I was like, we're that Spider-Man meme where they're pointing at each other. That's us. Yeah, that's us right now. I mean, it was a change, and I knew it was coming. I mean, you know, the people that get outlandish. I mean, y'all've got them up. When I saw what Nico was wearing, I knew that wasn't a new fashion statement. I knew that was probably something cultural. I knew that wasn't like just. But I didn't know the reaction was that bad. I was texting Grant Ramey yesterday, but. On the flip side, you got fans mad that Kalen DeBoer gave the players ice cream. You know, I mean, this like, I don't.
How dare he?
No, seriously, they're upset. He wore a dry fit the week before. You know what I mean? I mean, if you lose, that matters. Mike Elko's winning. Don't nobody care he's showing up looking like he just cut the grass because he's a hell of a coach. You know what I mean? He's out there kicking your butt wearing a sweatsuit. But if he loses, they're going to be like, put a tie on. That's not really going to matter. You know, and you knew it was coming with Saban. He's an old school guy, no music at practice. Now they play music at practice and all that stuff. The mood's kind of at shock. And the one thing that surprises me the most about every fan base is they have no remembrance from last year. Alabama had these games last year. Alabama really struggled against Arkansas. I mean, I had a friend of mine, several of them say, when's the last time you felt Alabama wasn't prepared for a game? I said, right before they snapped 4th-and-30 damn one, I felt like maybe they weren't as prepared as I thought they could have been. You know, afterwards, I'm like, what a game call. But, you know, up to that point, there's a lot more closer games than it is. Football's changed. You lose talent. You try to play, so you got to play freshmen. So I get the Alabama fans adjusting to what they're having to go through. It's not really surprising, but – I don't think ice cream and hoodies matter. It better not. I love them both.
Tim, I want to ask you offensively. I like ice cream too, and I have to wear a hoodie year round. But that's
what I'm saying.
we saw 100 yards rushing from Jalen Milroe in the in the Georgia game. He didn't run it nearly as effectively against Vanderbilt. He ran it pretty good against South Carolina, but he had all the sacks combined in there. How much do they want to run him? How much is that a factor? And then you've seen a lot of really good players come in at all positions. Where does Ryan Williams stack up in terms of freshman on campus? I don't care if he's 17 or 24, but I'm talking about first-year player. Where does he stack up with some of the other really good first-year players that have stepped on that campus?
Yeah, going to Jalen, I think they want to run him in the right situations. At Georgia, it was some strong power running. It was pulling it down because he found a lane. He was taking some hits against South Carolina. I mean, their defensive line, I mean, you know, give Shane Beamer credit. He put some NIL money in that defensive line. They got two edges coming at you. They got, well, I think the announcer said they're three deep at the defensive tackle position. So he took some hits there. You probably don't want him. I think ideally you want him to have him drop back, spread the field, because they're, you know, you got a lot of guys running with their back to Jalen when that happens. Ryan Williams, I mean, he's phenomenal. I know everybody harps. It is a big deal. He's only 17. I get that is a big deal. It's kind of crazy to think about it. But he's as talented as anybody. And then, you know, the thing I think that stands out the most to me is, like, he's built for this. Like, he's built to score a touchdown, do a podcast in the middle of the second quarter and go out and score two more touchdowns. He's just that next generation of guys, smiling all the time, great plays, great ball control, all the accolades that you can think of. And it's wild because he wasn't even the number one ranked wide receiver in his class. Ohio State had Jeremiah Smith, who's an absolute monster as well, though. But, I mean, some of these wide receivers you're seeing, I think Ryan's the guy that you throw to. You never say he's covered and I'm not throwing to him. You just throw it to him. But seeing him against other guys, Bama's had so many good. Julio Jones was a monster, but still a different kind of monster than what you're seeing with Ryan. Julio was big, strong, and all that stuff, and Ryan's just a small guy. But, you know, when it comes to talent, you know, I had an NFL guy say we'd draft him in the first round next year. I'm like, well, he's 17. He's like, I heard. So he's got that skill set and that talent level to play in the NFL.
Tim, last one for me. It's kind of a two-parter. Obviously, Jalen Milroe, you talked about his legs a little bit. I mean, he's leading the team in yards gained, you know, before sacks at 425. But you got Miller, 51 attempts. You have Haynes, 39 attempts. What's that run game look like? And, you know, behind that offensive line that on paper looks like it's much improved. I know sacks were a huge issue last year for Alabama, but only 12 through six games. It's a big improvement from 49 a season ago.
I just don't feel like they had a lot of chance to establish the run between the tackles. I think you just, you know, you want to throw the ball. It's quick strike. You know, Jeremy Bernard doesn't get enough attention. He's a heck of a second wide receiver at Alabama, sort of that safety blanket for a quarterback working back to the ball. I just don't think they've been able to establish the run as well between the tackles. And part of that is Jalen, you know, taking off like he does. Now, another part is the defense is on the field a lot. I mean, I think it was 40-plus minutes against Vanderbilt. Every game, the opponent seems to have a 15 to 17 play drive. So the offense will come out, you know, defense on their 14, 15 plays, you score in three plays, the defense is right back out there. So right now, Alabama's not really helping itself in any regards, including special teams. I mean, if you saw the special teams recovery, I mean, that's like hot potato. You know, that was like nobody wanted it, you know, at the end. It was wild to see. So a lot of things to clean up for Alabama.
Give me your prediction, Timmy. I mean, I know it's early in the week. Actually, I don't want to spoil that for your Alabama fans, but what do you think this game is? Like, do you think this is 20-17? Do you think both offenses figure it out and it's a little higher scoring? Where do you think this game's headed?
I think lower scoring's better for Tennessee, higher scoring's better for Alabama. Well, I said that, I think I probably said that the 2022 year, though. So, you know, this game's such a weird series. I think it helps Alabama's at 2:30. I love, you know, Tennessee has a great home field advantage like several other SEC schools, very passionate fan base. I think Alabama's okay in this game, marching in, but there's no way I feel strongly about either team. I don't know if anybody could feel strongly either way. What I do feel strongly is I don't think a loss in this game ends the playoff hopes. It hurts you. You know what ends the playoff hopes? Your second loss is Florida. Your second loss is South Carolina. You ain't got to discuss it. But if your second loss is at Tennessee and they went out, if your second loss is Alabama at home is number seven, I don't think that ends it. Because you're looking at it right now, there's going to be a ton of teams, I'm guessing, with two losses this year.
Well, Tim, man, we appreciate you taking time. I always wondered who you actually were. You really are Bruce Wayne and Batman. You know, you look like you're there in the Batcave, you know, getting ready to go out and fight crime.
Fantastic. I think he's like Professor Plum in the study in the game Clue.
I'm just disappointed Grant Ramey's such a coward. He didn't show up to face me man to man. You know, I'm glad he's not here because none of us would have got a word in edgewise. The guy never shuts up. We'd have never got a word in with Grant. No, we love Grant. I love
being on podcast. Loves to be in front of camera too.
So. Hey, Tim, you'll love this. So before we get you out the door, first home game of the year, Eric spills a coffee. It goes all over everybody. Okay. Down on the press row. And the next week, right as the ball game kicks off, Grant hands us all rain suits. He went to Dollar Tree and got rain ponchos.
The timing was incredible.
It was the best comedic timing of all time.
And he didn't say a word. He just handed them out.
That's the thing. For a guy that doesn't talk, he's hilarious. It's quite the mystery how he gets there, though.
Tim, buddy, we appreciate you, man. See you. Man.
Appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, Tim.
Thanks, Bruce Wayne.
Really good stuff there from Tim Watts. Bama Online getting you set for the third Saturday in October, Alabama and Tennessee. We got all the coverage. We got all the lead in. Got a busy week here at VolQuest.com. And Brent Hubbs, no better time to join us right now. We got a really, really good deal. $1 for 7 days and then 50% off your first year for new subscribers. We got awesome stuff happening right now and all year long over at VolQuest.com.
Yeah, critical week. Critical week on the field for Tennessee as they try to keep their postseason hopes completely intact. Obviously, Alabama is trying to do the same. It's also a critical week for Tennessee in terms of recruiting. A lot of guys are going to be in town. Some of them are going to be back in town from last week. We've got full updates on guys who have been in town. Matt and Austin have that covered for you, and we'll continue to dive into who's coming in this weekend. So a lot going on there. Basketball's just around the corner here as well. They've had some recruiting visitors in, updates on those guys. Lots of stuff going on. There's no better time to check us out.
$1 for 7 days and then 50% off your first year. New subscribers only to VolQuest.com. Take advantage of that deal and join us all week long. We got you covered from every single angle as Tennessee gets ready for Alabama in the third Saturday in October. Big shout out to our friends, Exterior Home Solutions, for making the show possible. They've been local and trusted since 1999. It's exteriorhomesolutions.com or 865-524-5888. Big thanks to Tim Watts for joining us here on this show. Austin Price, Rob Lewis, Brent Hubbs, I am Eric Kane. Thank you as always for joining us here on the Tuesday morning VolQuest podcast.
You've been listening to the VolQuest podcast every week here on VolQuest.